Well, we got some great news, some fantastic interviews to pass along to you on this Wednesday program. Had a chance to talk to a couple of the members of the football team, along with the head coach and a couple of members of the defense of the men's soccer team. You will hear all of those conversations. We'll also get, and honestly, I don't really have to think too far back. Pretty sure this is the first time I've done this, and boy, is this fantastic to be able to say. The USF cross-country team has the runner of the week in the American Athletic Conference. We will get to that. And we'll get to football in a second, but I want to start off with golf because of so many different cool things happening for the Bulls in the final round of the Marquette Intercollegiate. And this is played on the golf course that the U.S. Open was held at 2 years ago, talking about Erin Hills. So to shoot the scores that Luke Gifford and Albin Bergstrom in particular did on Tuesday, pretty special. As a matter of fact, Luke, the sophomore, had a pretty special week and finished as the co-medalist. So he gets an individual title, shares it with Hunter Eichhorn of Marquette. Now, they were on different parts of the course. Luke and his teammate Albin both started on the first hole like he normally would, but Eichhorn started on the back nine. And as a matter of fact, he bogeyed his last hole, which was the ninth. He had the lead, and that gave Gifford the chance to end up tied for first place. Gifford had a bogey-free round while the Eichhorn kid had three birdies and three bogeys for an even par 72. Gifford, three birdies, including two on 14 and 15 for his best round of the 3 days. Started off with an even par 72, and then on Monday, a 4-under 68, and then yesterday, a 69 for that 7-under total, again tying him with Hunter Eichhorn. Who finished in third place all by his lonesome? That would be Albin Bergstrom of the Bulls. What a round he had. He had a double bogey in there, but also sprinkled in nine birdies. That's right. He birdied nine of the 18 holes, including a three-hole stretch from 13 to 15 that shot him up the chart. And in the end, he birdied his final hole, the 18th, shot a 5-under 31 on the back nine in response to that double bogey on the ninth hole. What a round for Bergstrom, and again, finished in third place at 6-under par. As a team, because of their finish there with, of course, the birdies on the last nine holes, USF finished in fourth place, even par for the tournament, 7-under for the round on Tuesday. By far, their best round, six shots better than what they shot in the middle round, and helped towards that end. Always when you can fire in an ace, a hole-in-one, yeah, that's going to improve your team score. The freshman, Run Yupreyong, did just that. On the 200-yard par 3 16th hole, he sank a hole-in-one, helped him get to a 2-under par, his best round of the tournament. And then finishing up the Bulls' score for the last day was Massimo Mbetse, who fired a 3-over par 75. So Purdue won the thing. They were 12-under for the last round. Northwestern, which was 13-under, for the last round, was two shots back, then two more shots back to third place UCLA, and then USF finishing in fourth place. Fifth place went to Indiana at 4-over, and just to illustrate how strong the Bulls' finish was, the team that finished sixth, Cal Davis, was nine shots behind the Bulls. They were actually ahead of the Bulls at one point on the last nine holes, but obviously USF finished strong. Certainly going to try and talk to Coach Bradley and or all of the players that I just mentioned, especially Luke, for winning. As far as that, Coach Bradley said on GoUSFBulls.com that Luke played really, really well. And when they sat down at the beginning of the year, it was a goal of his to have a win. We can check that off and create new goals now. He played the last 36 holes without a bogey, which according to Coach Bradley is being in complete control of your golf ball, your emotions, being aggressive when you can, being smart when you had to be. It was a great victory. Also, Albin, shooting the 5-under par on the last day, said, "I know he's disappointed to not win, but I'm sure he's pretty happy with the finish." And then on the whole team's performance, said, hey, they wanted to do better than fourth place. A little bit of a bitter taste. And when you see him say that, you know that this team has high aspirations. So the third event of the season lands the Bulls another top five finish and lands them another individual medalist. Wanted to make sure I started off with that. What a great day. Now on to football, and was really fun to talk to a couple members of the team. Had a feeling, as I said, that we'd get Dwayne Boyles, and forgotten that he was one of those guys on that defense that had really bulked up in the offseason, and it has produced for him especially, because you could just see he is physically much bigger, was around 210, kind of not a thin guy, but didn't have that aspect to his game. Now he looks like a staunch middle linebacker sort, but he's playing all over the field. So when he met with us in the media, and of course, Tom Siebold, you'll always hear him ask a lot of questions. I tossed in a few here.
You had a monster game, 3 tackles for loss. You were flying around. How'd it feel to have a performance like that?
Well, it felt really good. Felt like I showed like what I could do every game, and like I want to like progress after this. Oh, it's super fun. It's like my first time ever playing like both roles, like rushing, playing linebacker, and dropping back like a DB. So it was my first ever doing it, and it's really fun. I really learned a lot from doing it.
You mentioned being able to show what you can do. Just give people an idea of what's to come. I mean, what do you think your strengths are?
I don't really like to say my strengths really out there, but I'll say I like to rush, like to hit, quick, fast. Not to say that.
Their quarterback was a pretty big kid, and you got him down a couple times.
Beaudry is not light of foot like McLeod is. He was chugging to get to the line of scrimmage there.
But guess what? Dwayne Boyle said nope, came in speedy, and got him out of bounds for it. Looks like a loss.
Was that your, like, an idea, like we're talking about, being physical? Is that your thing?
Yeah, like that came from the weight room. Yeah, getting bigger, getting stronger, that really helped me a lot this game.
How much bigger have you gotten? Take us through that whole process of getting stronger.
Oh, well, I came in like around 205, 210 my freshman year. Played my whole freshman year 210. But this year, went hard in the weight room, got up to 235. Lost a little bit of weight, now I'm back down to 225. But I like playing at this size, though. We played decent, I'll say that. We played decent. We had some mistakes out there, but we're going to improve off of that by going to practice, doing what we got to do, working hard in the weight room, working hard in the classroom, because whatever you do in the classroom comes to the field.
What's the confidence level like in the team? You know, for a while there it was down, but it seems like it's up now.
Yeah, like you could tell our like even though we lost before UConn, our confidence like raised up throughout practice. Like we took more pride in the practice, worked hard on the field, then that translated to Saturday, and that helped a lot.
He is growing and I think is going to be a mainstay as far as the linebacking core goes. Now, this is a kid who 2 years ago started to impress us with his special teams play and was a pretty solid backup running back that, not going to say was forgotten, but was not active, as it were, for one of the games earlier this year and really got into the action against UConn. Talking about Trayvon Sands.
Wilcox slot left. Here is Sands, and he will get inside the 40 to about the 38, already 55 yards on the ground for the Bulls. Trayvon Sands with the carry, breaking tackles, and he is in the end zone. That's 6 for the Bulls. Trayvon Sands from 5 yards out.
Third down and 2, and I tell you what, it's a no-brainer what's about to happen. You got 2 tight ends coming into the game, and guess what? You got Trayvon Sands, so that just tells you what USF is planning to do. And that's run the ball to get these extra 2 yards.
From the 38-yard line, third down and 2. And here comes Sands, and here is the first down. He breaks through and gets out near the 49. That'll be an 11-yard gain.
Definitely wanted to include that Sam Barrington prediction of the handoff and the power run. And, boy, you could tell by what Sands had to say to the media on Tuesday, being able to have that feeling of knowing you're going to run it down the opponent's throat is a great feeling. Career high 64 yards on just 7 carries, so that's 9 a pop, with the first career touchdown. Also love what he had to say about Mitchell Wilcox, who, as we told you on yesterday's show, didn't catch a pass but was a big part of that blocking effort, leading the way for this guy, Trayvon Sands and company, to have a big day.
Well, how'd it feel to finally get in the end zone and contribute to a big rushing day for you guys?
First, I want to just thank my line. They came out and played against UConn, so if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be successful, give my first career touchdown. I felt great, you know, celebrating my team, fans, family and all. So it felt great, actually.
Yeah, aside from that run, I mean, you gained some good yards, had some good yards per carry. Just your thoughts on your performance.
I think I performed well. Could have been better. I ran hard. Holes was there because holes was wide open. Like, anybody could have ran through them holes because my O-line came to play. So it was a good team win.
What's it like on the field when you guys start to get that feeling like you've got the holes? Do you communicate with the offensive line, we got this? Take us through that.
It felt great. Like, you just know you can just run the ball. Like, you just know, like, that every run play just open. It's like, man, it's like glory days. Like, you just like, all right, O-line, because we're going to run down their throat the whole game. They let us, so let's get it.
Is there one guy on that line that maybe is more audible than others when you guys have it rolling like that?
Nah, it's all of them. It is, but Donovan Genius. He'd be hype. He loved to pull and hit people. He's just aggressive. But Yeah, we got Big Meech. I love it too. I think all the linemen should be ready, man.
You win at UConn. What's this week of practice been like so far?
Like today, we had a great day of practice. You know, physical always. First Tuesday, you know, come at physical. We just got to, that win just get us momentum, man. We coming hard. That's all I would say. Like, it's going to be a tough game, so we coming to play Saturday.
How big was Mitch just in terms of blocking?
Mitchell Wilcox, he gives, you know, every day he come out, he give his all. That's one person I can say he come to work every single day. So if you catching, blocking, he always gonna give his all. So that's nothing to worry about with me.
Bryce Miller keeps taking advantage of the opportunities he had. I mean, he was good last year, good through fall camp and everything. Just how happy are you for him?
Like, overall, like, in life, you got to take advantage of the opportunities because you don't get so many. You don't want to miss out on the opportunity. And he's seizing his opportunities. So it's opportunity to step up. He's stepping up, helping the team well.
Has there ever been a point where you said, man, is this first touchdown ever going to come?
Me, in life, you got to be patient. You know, like I knew it was going to come sometime. And every game I go in, I'm like, I'm going to get a touchdown. Every time I touch the ball, I'm like, I'm going to score. And before I came on the play, I'm like, I'm gonna score. When I score, I'm gonna blow kisses in the stands to my family. That's why I knew I was gonna score that game. I wanted it bad enough.
The offensive line played so physical in that game. You're going up against a big defensive line this week. How important is it for that line to continue that physical play?
We're gonna take the same approach we UConn to this game. There's no difference. We're just a different opponent. So we don't worry about the opponent. We're about us. So once we get us right, we could be anyone.
How good is it gonna be to be back home on homecoming?
Great. We gotta come home and succeed. We let two losses at home, but we'll come home, we'll give our hometown a victory this game right here.
You mentioned anyone could have run through the holes, which I agree with, but you also had that extra, you know, second effort on your part. Was there something going on?
Me personally, I always run hard. I always try to get my all from blocking, running. It could be anything. I'm giving my all. That's just me.
You got some support from Marlon Mack on Twitter after that.
Yeah, that's my
how
guy.
Cool was that?
Yeah, that's my guy. We talk, like, not just on Twitter. We talk often. We in group chats. Like, Marlon, my guy. I looked up to him when my freshman year, he was here with me. So it's just like running back connection always going
to
be there.
How cool is that to see what he's doing in the pros, especially this past week?
Look, Marlon Mack always been special, man. Like, he's a special guy, man. He's a special idol to look up to. Like, his run style is like unbelievable, man. Like, Le'Veon. Like, he got a nice run style. He make it look easy out there.
Hey, good to know that he keeps in touch with Marlon Mack. Speaking of that, there was, I don't think intended, but Sands providing some material for Tom in an article. It's on GoUSFBulls.com, his periodic piece, Bulls and the Pros, all about what Marlon Mack did as part of a concerted effort by the Colts to run the ball, with Mack being the guy. 29 carries, a career high, 132 yards, beating the Chiefs, who hadn't lost, by the way. And Marlon Mack really getting recognized as one of the top running backs. We can't help but be proud of him. Incidentally, also in that game, Austin Reeder playing center for Kansas City. He has been the starting center all year long. And Tom does a great job on that article on GoUSFBulls.com of basically going through all of the players right now that are in the pros, whether being active, practice squad, etc. Some unsigned free agents who some teams might want to take a look at, including one, Quentin Flowers. So I would recommend that. And gotta say, this is great news. Alexandra Weir, the American Athletic Conference Female Runner of the Week for cross country. She is a freshman out of Toronto, and she ran in the 5K a time of 18 minutes and 42 seconds. She has finished in the top six in all three meets, including winning it on Saturday at the one hosted by USF. Believe it or not, the regular season closes out this Friday at 7:40 in the morning, so we'll see how she does up in Tallahassee. But congratulations to Alexandra. I will endeavor to get an interview with her. We went out to soccer practice early on Tuesday, talked to head coach Bob Buthorn about the big match coming up this Friday night, Bulls hosting SMU. A little bit on that match that the Bulls were leading 2-1, about 90 seconds shy of it being an official match against Tulsa. The latest as far as trying to reschedule that thing, and a couple of members of the standout defense. You'll hear how the freshman Sal Mazzaferro pronounces his name properly. That's enjoyable. So is he to talk to, along with Javane Brown. That's all coming up, and an update on women's basketball as well. I watched them practice too. This is Bulls Beat.